welcome to Media Mavens. This is episode 51. I'm Pam, and with me as always is Riley.
Hello.
Hello, Riley. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. I noticed your hello didn't go up.
No.
At the end.
No. I'm tired and I have like a scratchy, itchy throat. Mm-hmm. So,
So this episode is just the two of us. We'll talk about what we've been doing and take some listener questions. So Riley, what have you been up to in the last week or two?
Well, I have been in Florida at Disney World and Universal Studios. Yay!
Yay!
So my mom works at the running room. I'm pretty sure they have those in the States too, but it's like running equipment, and they also do like running clinics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then through the running room and Weight Watchers, who she also works for, she organized a big group trip down to Disney World over the weekend, where they have what they call the Disney Princess Run. And so Disney, or Run Disney, I guess is what this is. Mm-hmm. But they organize runs, so like 5 kilometer, 10 kilometer, half marathon and marathon runs through their parks. So all of the runs that we went on this weekend were part of the Disney Princess Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And they have other weekends. They have a Star Wars themed one that they do, I think, in Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, I believe there's some in like Disneyland Paris and also in like Disneyland Japan or Disneyland Tokyo. And then the one here was the Princess Weekend. So it's all themed after princesses. And the main half marathon actually runs through Magic Kingdom, like down around the castle.
Oh,
and you get
to
like run through the castle and get your picture taken like right outside the castle.
Is it like early before the park opens?
Oh my god, yeah. So the one like bad thing about this is that we had to wake up at like 2:30 in the morning to make sure that we had enough time to go catch the shuttle buses that would take us down to the location. So we had to catch a bus at 3:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Yep. And then the race itself, all of them over the weekend, started at 5:30.
Wow.
So, which is good and bad, because while we were there, the temperatures were 30 degrees Celsius plus humidity.
Oh.
Which was just awful after being up here in Ontario, where it was like, you know, minus 10, minus 5, and then it was a little bit warmer, but it was really hot. So I only did the 5K, and then my mom and a bunch of other ladies signed up for the Fairy Tale Challenge, which is you run all of them over the weekend. So they did the 5, yeah, the 5, the 10, and the half marathon.
I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
I know. Yeah. When they got up for like the 10 kilometer, I heard them leave and I was like, see ya. And then the next day they got up for the half marathon and I heard them like talking about, you know, what to bring with them. And I was like, please just pick something, because it's like 2 in the morning and I hate you. But yeah, so it was really fun. During the races, they have all the, like, a bunch of different characters and stuff. Mm-hmm. So you can, like, stop and take pictures and, I don't know, it was really cool. Like, and running through the parks was really cool. Like, it felt a lot shorter than it actually was, which was good, because I was like, it was just so hot.
Yeah.
Like, even by, like, you know, 8:30 in the morning, it was hot. So I was happy for it to be relatively short. Also, like, I can't even imagine, like, I don't know how they had the energy to do this, but, like, after every run that they did, we would, like, go out to the parks for the day. So I don't know, crazy, magical people. But I was exhausted just thinking about it.
Yeah, I guess if you're, like, a usual runner, you get kind of used to it. but
yeah,
even the few times I've tried to train myself to run, I don't get used to it fast enough and I quit.
Yeah. You're like, no, this isn't happening.
Yeah.
Why can't I just be a runner right away?
Yeah. So other than the running, what did you see? What did you do?
So much. We had 2 days, 2 or 3 days, I think, at Disney parks. Mm-hmm. So we spent most of our time, I think, in the Animal Kingdom park and mm-hmm. Epcot. We, like, went to Magic Kingdom, I think, once, which mm-hmm. I'm kind of sad about because I really like that park. And Animal Kingdom, I guess Disney, I didn't realize this, but Disney, like, bought out all of the rights for, like, the Avatar movie.
Oh, okay.
They own it now? I don't really know how it works.
I think Disney owns everything.
Yeah, at this point, yeah. And they've built the whole, like, it looks like Pandora in the movies. Like, they built, like, the floating rocks and stuff. I don't know how they did it, but it's really cool. Mm-hmm. And they have two rides there. One of them is, like, a river thing, like a water ride, but we didn't end up going on it. But what I heard was that it was really pretty because everything is all, like, lit up with the bioluminescent plants and stuff. So I kind of wish we had gone on that, but we were kind of crushed for time. And then the other one is probably the coolest ride I've ever been on. We had what are called fast passes, so it lets you skip the regular lineup and, like, make an appointment, basically, to get on the ride. So as long as you get there within your hour that you have, you skip the main line and kind of go into a different, faster line. Mm-hmm. So we had that one day, and then the ride was actually down for maintenance or something. So we had to come back another day, which used up some time, which I think that might be why we didn't go to Magic Kingdom, now that I think about it. Hmm. But we ended up getting on it. It's called Flight of something. Avatar Flight. Fuck. That's bad. but you... so if you have seen the movie at all, you know that, like, the people, like, put their minds into the Avatar bodies of the Na'vi people. Uh-huh. And I mean, like, the movie's got its own problems, but the ride was really cool, so I'm just going to focus on that. So it's, like, basically you go in and the premise of the ride is that you are, like, you're connecting with an Avatar that's already on the back of one of the Ikran Banshee flying guys. Mm-hmm. And when you, like, wake up, you're, like, ready to fly. So this ride, like, you hop into these, like, seats that, like, have you sit upright and you hold on to these handles in front of you, mm-hmm. like, kind of like you're on a motorbike. Okay. And then the restraints, like, the restraint in the back, like, came up and, like, smacked me in the back, like, pushed me forward. And then these, like, restraints for my legs came up, and I was like, Jesus Christ, okay. So I'm, like, ready to go, and we've all got, like, 3D goggles on. And then in front of us is, like, just a blank wall, so we're all kind of like, okay. And then the, like, screen in front of you, like, opens up. And your seats actually, like, move up and out. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of, like, suspended over the ground. And this, like, it looks like scenery. Like, it kind of, like, all pops up in front of you on, like, a 360. Well, not 360, but, like, it's enough to get in your peripheral vision. Like, a screen kind of all the way around you. Mm-hmm. Like, if you've ever been to those IMAX theaters.
Yeah.
That, you know, makes you feel like you're actually, like, flying over something. It's like that.
Yeah, okay.
And then, like, the ride starts, and your guide, one of the Na'vi people, is in front of you, and she's like, okay, let's go, and you, like, take off after her flying. And I don't know how to describe it. Like, it was just the coolest thing, because it feels like you're actually on the back of, like, a living, breathing creature, because it's kind of weird, but they do this thing where it feels like If you've been on a horse, you'll know what I'm talking about. Like, your legs feel like you're, like, they're around, like, an animal.
Yeah.
They've added in, like, all of this stuff to make it feel like it's real. Like, you're skimming over some water, and, like, water, like droplets of water, like, splash you from that direction. Wow. And when you're, like, doing a dive down through the air, the wind is rushing up in your face, so it feels like you're flying straight down. Gosh, yeah, it was just the coolest ride. And we really lucked into getting back on that ride because the customer service helped us out.
Oh.
But it was so cool. So that was easily one of the coolest ride experiences that we had, for sure.
Awesome. Did you go on Space Mountain?
No.
No, or the Haunted Mansion?
The one that, like, drops you?
No, just, like, It's, I guess it's not so much a ride as a you walk through it.
No.
No?
We didn't do that. We did those, I think, the last time I was there, but the last time I was there was, like, 14 years ago when I turned 16.
I was there when I was about 6, and that's when I did them.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. We did do, like, the Tower of Terror, the droppy one, the Twilight Zone one. I don't know if you've been on that one.
Yeah, I don't think that one was there one.
But it's like a whole Twilight Zone episode. And while we were waiting, so the ride, like, ushers you in and you go into a room and they play a movie that's, like, talking about, like, how you're about to enter the Twilight Zone. And, like, every adult in the room was whispering, "The Twilight Zone." When it started, I couldn't stop laughing. It was so good. It was so funny. And my mom was like, "What?" And I was like, "You didn't hear all these people just whisper at the same time?" Oh, it's so good. It's so, like, it's, like, really scary. Also, the drop was a lot smaller than I remembered, so that was good. But you only get a seatbelt, so I didn't like that. Oh. I was like, this doesn't feel secure, but okay. I'm trying to think of other cool stuff we did. It was a Toy Story ride, which was really cool. And you just, like, shoot stuff. And my accuracy was 51%, which was really cool and fun. And then, like, aside from Disney stuff, we also went over to Universal Studios, where they have all the Harry Potter stuff, which was amazing. It looks just like it. Like, the castle looks like it, and while you're going through to get on the ride in the castle, it's like you go into these rooms. Like, there's Dumbledore's office is there, and there's, like, a projection of him. It must be, like, screen projected or something, because it looks like he's actually standing there, like, talking to you about the castle and, like, things to be, you know, careful of, blah blah blah. And then you go through another room, and it's Harry, Ron, and Hermione talking to you. And they, like, appear from under the invisibility cloak, and they're, like, talking to you about how you should try and get out of your magic lesson because it's boring and they'll seek you out. And then the ride is, like, as if you're on a broomstick. So you're, like, your arms are kind of in front of you, but you're in, like, one of those seats where the restraints come down over your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just, like, zip through and, like, fly through Hogwarts Castle, like, all around the castle. There's a dragon. There's, like, Dementors and stuff like that. So, yeah, that ride was great. And we went on the Hogwarts Express. It's, like, an actual train that takes you from one side of the park to the other.
Oh, wow.
And then there's a ride that goes through Gringotts Bank with, like, the goblin guys. And, you know, there's a dragon there, too. And I had Butterbeer, and we ate lunch at the Leaky Cauldron. Like, it was so cool. And that I hope, like, awesome. I want every Harry Potter fan to get to go there because it was just so cool. People were walking around in, like, their Hogwarts robes and sweaters, and I'm like, dudes, it is hot out here. Like, I don't understand how they weren't all, like, sweating through them. Like, I considered bringing my robes, but I was like, nah, man, it's way too hot.
That sounds awesome.
It was really, really cool.
Was there anything else? What Orkchop wanted to hear about your trip? Oh. Did you have a favorite character that you met? I saw you met Kylo Ren.
Yeah. The Star Wars characters were really cool. I would say when we met BB-8, actually.
You met
We met BB-8. I wasn't sure. Like, I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. Because, like, how is he going to talk to us? Because some of them, like, make conversation and like ask you questions and stuff. And I was like, how's this going to work? Mm-hmm. But he has like an interpreter, I guess, in there. So there was like a woman in there and the photographer was also in there. And we get in the room and we're like putting our stuff down in the corner. And I bought a pair of ears from the Animal Kingdom that look like the Na'vi ears from the Avatar movie. Mm-hmm. So I had them on. And like BB-8, I'm like watching him and his little head like swivels over and his eyeball is like looking at me. And I'm like, I just kind of like waved at him and he like made a bunch of like beeping noises. And the girl looks over and he's like, oh, he wants to know like what species you are because he's never seen those ears before. I was like, And then my aunt was like, oh, she's Na'vi. She's a Na'vi. And he's like, you know, through the translator, he asked, like, where I was from. So we had to talk about, like, Pandora. And then he said that he would have to get Chewbacca to take him there in the Millennium Falcon. And I was like, oh, my God, you're so cute.
Aww.
And then at the end, he did, like, this beep that was like, bye! And I was like, you're adorable.
Aww.
So he was probably the coolest one that we met. We also met Star-Lord, and he talked to us a lot. And, like, Baby Groot was there, and all he said the entire time was just, I am Groot, I am Groot. I was like, you're so cute.
I love Baby Groot.
He was really cute. I don't know how they, like, he's like a puppet, but at the same time, like, animatronic. Oh, so okay. He was, like, standing on, like, a console kind of beside Star-Lord and was, like, moving around and, like, doing stuff. So I don't know. It was really neat. I don't know how they did it. Star-Lord, I guess, just asked or translated, I guess, for him. I don't know how they worked that out between the two of them, but it was really cool. So probably BB-8 and then Star-Lord.
Awesome.
Anyway, now that I've talked a lot about my trip.
All right. So I played Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yay!
Yeah, I also bought a second PlayStation.
Oh, jeez.
Because Will keeps his PlayStation in the game room, and I like to play console games while I lie in bed. Oh, so yeah. I found one, like just like a used one, and it was missing a piece of plastic, like where you would replace the hard drive, and so it was cheaper than it would have been. So that was good. So nice. Now I have my own PlayStation in the bedroom. I played through Horizon Zero Dawn probably about in the same time you did. Like it was definitely within a week that I played through the whole thing. Nice. And I really liked it. I really like Aloy.
Mm-hmm.
Even at the beginning when she's a kid.
Yeah.
I liked her then. And I really, really wanted to throw a rock at that blonde kid. Well, I did. I just didn't hit him.
Neither did I. I wish I did, though.
Mm-hmm. But I found myself getting very angry at characters, especially at the beginning of the game. I was just like, she's got to just throw rocks at all the people if I have my say. So that was good. And I really, really liked the main story. I loved the beginning when you first get your focus and you go through and you get all the little voice logs. Yes. I thought those were super well done. And then the combat was pretty cool. I liked that it had so many different ways to do things. Yeah. Although I found that after a while, like I was playing on normal for about half the game. And then I got to a point where I was like, everything takes kind of a long time to kill. So I just put it down to easy just so things would be faster.
Yeah.
But I also realized because I've been using a like the fast bow that I started with for a long time. And then I got the slow bow and I was like, oh my God, this is so much better.
Yeah. You can get like, I don't know how, there's like three or four different kinds of bows
that you can get. Two.
Yeah. There's like an element throwing one too that like shoots different arrows. And like, I didn't realize this until almost near the end, but there's like one that shoots corruption arrows that like turns the mech animals into not allies because they'll still attack you, but like they'll start attacking anything around them. You don't even have to be near them and they'll start attacking.
I never got that one. That would have been helpful.
I can't remember if I got it from like maybe the Hunter's Lodge, but
Because I did really like overriding an animal so that it would fight for me. Although I found a lot of the time I would sneak up and override it. And then while they were fighting something else, I would just get trampled. Oh, no. But I really liked when I finally found a bow I liked. And I used one that had like just a high damage arrow. And then one that sort of set off this like pulse that would explode components off it. But my problem with that was that I didn't get too many upgrades for the ammo pouch since I got it fairly late. So I only had, 15 ammo, which made it really difficult. When I got to the final boss, I actually lost the first time because I ran out of ammo and I had no wire. Like, before you go in, you get all these supplies, but wire wasn't one of them. So I couldn't even make any ammo.
Yeah. I ended up having, like, an overabundance of, like, shards. So every time I went back to a trader, I would buy wire. Mm-hmm. Because I would, like, I found that I didn't kill mechs enough or the right kinds of mechs enough. Yeah. Like, I would just overpower them and, like, get my shit and leave. Mm-hmm. So I ended up having to buy a lot of the components. But wire is easily the one that I had to buy the most for sure.
Yeah, because I generally had stacks and stacks of everything else. Sometimes I'd run out of the fire stuff, blaze, I think it was called, just because I had 9 different types of ammunition that used fire ammo.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really liked that part of it. And I loved the, what are they called? The vantage points?
Yeah.
That was my favorite collectible.
Yeah, really cool. And, like, the story that's told through is kind of sad, too.
Yeah, yeah, I liked that story the best. And it was also cool just to see how things looked before the calamity that happened. Yeah. So it was really good. I didn't get all of the bonus things. I was considering it, but I got most of them. Like, I got all the vantage points and almost all of the flowers.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't like was just that I'm so sick of the tracking quests.
Oh.
Because I feel like all games do that now. It happened the first time and I was like, oh, I'm sure this is only going to happen a couple times. I was like, no. this is going to happen a lot.
Yeah, some of them are not good. Like, there were some that I was like, where the fuck, like, I don't understand where I'm supposed to go. Even though, like, the tracks led me right there, I was like, what the hell am I looking at?
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Yeah. It's so hard to balance now, because I find it gets annoying in games, whether it's the tracking or even, like, in Dragon Age Inquisition, where you've got, like, the radar or whatever it is to find items. But it's so hard, I think, to make items obvious when the environment is so lush and realistic. Like, I don't, like, you couldn't just expect a player to be able to see some footprints in the mud probably without some kind of UI help. But at the same time, it's like, this is getting old. So I don't even know what the solution to that is, to make people see what they need to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the one thing that kind of bugged me. Mm-hmm. And I got the edition that had the DLC in it.
Oh, I haven't done that.
The snow one? Yeah, Frozen Waste. I went to the first sort of town, and then I was like, I'm going to go back to the main story now. I was going to finish the game and then go do all the rest of the collectibles, but I kind of felt like I didn't like how they did it. They did it, I'm not going to give away the ending or anything, but they did it like Fallout 4, basically.
Yeah.
Where they don't take you to after the end. They take you to right before you go to the final fight.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, it just feels weird narratively. It's like,
wait, I just... I did this.
Yeah. So, I don't know, I might go back later on, but I felt like I just ended the story and it ended really nicely, and then sort of going back on that progress feels weird.
Yeah.
So, but I liked it a lot.
Good. Yay.
What else have you been up to?
Well, I also went to the theater and I watched Black Panther. Mm-hmm. Yay! Which was awesome!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw it too.
Such a good movie. Ugh. Like, I don't even know what else to say, like, about it other than it was so good. Like, we were sitting in the theater and I was just like, I had my mouth open the whole time. This is, like, this beautiful movie with these characters that were just so lovable and, like, really not something that we see on screen mm-hmm. at all, which was really cool. The theater was completely packed, even though it was, like, a matinee. And, like, everybody was laughing and everybody was cheering. Like, it was just so good. Like, such a good movie experience.
Yeah, I saw it, too, and I really liked it. It was such a different sort of environment. Like, it was so full of music mm-hmm. and dancing and joy. And I felt that it was so nice to see all of these great Black women characters.
Yeah.
And just women in general. Like, I think this is the first Marvel movie I've seen that had three main characters who are women. And then yeah. Angela Bassett is sort of like, she's not as main of a character, but like, and all talking to each other about yeah. something other than the hero. And that was so, so nice. And they were all just so smart and strong and funny, and mm-hmm. it was really, really nice to see that.
Yeah. I loved Shuri. Mm-hmm. I thought she was so funny. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. We were like, I laughed so hard when she was looking at his shoes.
Yeah.
She was like, what are those?
Yeah, I loved her, and I really loved Nakia. She was great. I liked mm-hmm. that she was, it was just, like, so nice to have, like, you had, like, the spy and the scientist and the warrior.
Yeah.
And it was, I really, really liked it. And then, actually, I found that Black Panther himself was kind of the least interesting character in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, he was good. He did a good job. And I really loved all the scenes that were in the sort of, what do you call it? Like, the waterfall area, like the ceremonial area, which we went back to more often than I was expecting to. But all those were great. Yeah. I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to talk about something at the end.
I mean, if you, spoiler tag.
Yeah, I guess.
And I guess let people know. How long has it been since it's come out?
It's not even, like, a huge spoiler. Like, if you take Marvel comic movie and you know there's a bad guy and there's a good guy, and who wins at the end, like, it's not a huge spoiler. But I felt like, I don't know, the ending for me was kind of toothless, I guess. Because the whole thing in the movie, if you haven't seen it, is that the Black Panther is from the nation of Wakanda, which has this vibranium? Is that what it's called?
Vibranium, yeah.
Yeah, this material that has, like, given them huge advances in science, but they're very isolationist. They don't tell anyone they have it. They sort of hide themselves from the world and portray themselves as, like, a third world country. And one of the big things in the movie is from both Nakia and from the villain Killmonger, who think that they should be using their powers mm-hmm. for good, to help people, specifically other Black people who are being sort of subjugated around the world. So I was hoping that T'Challa would sort of listen a little more to the two of them, sort of take on a bit more of Killmonger's radical ideology. At the end, what he does, like, in a way, they sort of open up a little bit more, but it's kind of in a, like, oh, well, that's nice for, like, a couple hundred kids, and that's it. So, I don't know. What did you think of the end?
I see why, I guess it would seem kind of on the smaller scale. But I think that Killmonger's direction was a little, like, extremist almost. But that, mm-hmm. and that is, like, a product of, you know, how he grew up and the societal pressures on him. And then, like, I think the outreach suggestion with, like, the outreach center is a good start. Like, I think that, you know, eventually they'll be doing a little more. Mm-hmm. I mean, just because they're like this tiny, tiny country, but they obviously are doing pretty well. So I think they'll be able to do more. And then, like, once more people get to know about it, then they'll probably, like, flock to looking to get some help from them, too.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully it's a sort of start to things, and I'd love to see it sort of play out a little more. I feel like what's the next thing? Infinity War?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's going to be the place for it, but hopefully if there's more Black Panther movies.
I think they would be foolish to not do more.
Yeah.
But I mean, knowing how film works against, you know, directors of color.
Mm-hmm.
Although it does seem to be getting a little better, I think that they'll definitely, like, they should make more. Like, it was just, like, an incredible departure away from, like, you know, how the other superhero movies have been, to come to, like you said, this, like, joyous, like, colorful world. Like, mm-hmm. it just felt like a big breath of fresh air that was just so, so good and so needed, too.
Yeah. It was good. At the same time, like, I really liked this movie. At the same time, before it started in the previews, I think there was previews for 4 other Marvel movies. And I was just like, oh, my God, stop.
Yeah, there was like an Ant-Man one, right? Like, yeah. I got an Ant-Man one.
Ant-Man, Deadpool 2, Venom.
Oh, yeah, we got those too. What would be the last one?
Maybe it wasn't, no, because then I think Annihilation and Tomb Raider were the other ones, so I guess only 3, still.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and I like Deadpool, like, I really like the first Deadpool.
Yeah.
The Venom trailer, I got nothing from, I have no idea what it's about or who Venom is, and I didn't like the first Ant-Man, so I don't know, it's just a lot of movies with superheroes, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so another thing that I watched, which you talked about a bit last week, was Queer Eye. Last weekend, I drank a bottle of wine and watched, I think, 6 episodes in a row.
Nice.
And I really liked it. I never watched the first one.
Yeah, me neither.
And it was so nice. Like, it was surprisingly emotional. I liked that they changed it from Queer Eye for the straight guy, because in this they were even helping other queer guys. So that was cool. I really liked the first episode a lot. That was, I don't know, I think that might have been my favorite one. It's nice to see sort of spreading the message that, you know, men, it's okay to take care of yourselves.
Yeah.
You can do it. There was one episode that kind of bothered me. They were going to help.
Was it the second one?
I think it was the second one. The guy was a cop.
I was
really
so uncomfortable the entire time. Like, I didn't like that episode. Ugh.
Yeah, so it started off when they're in a car driving to their next target. That's target. Not the right word. Their next project. And Karamo, who's like the one Black guy, is driving, and they get pulled over by the police, and the officer is asking for their ID, and he's being a real dick about it. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like, haha, surprise, I'm the one that brought you here. It's like,
not a funny joke.
No, that's not funny.
No, I did not like it.
And then they got to the guy's house and there were like MAGA hats and stuff. I was like, oh, I don't want it.
Yeah,
I did like that they had Karamo and the guy that they were helping having a conversation where he actually said, like, I've been on edge this whole time. I did not like how this episode started.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, the production staff has to be at least 50, if not more, percent to blame for how the episode started off. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was sort of the one place where I was like, what are you doing? But overall, I really liked it.
Yeah.
It was nice. I might have cried a few times. And then the other thing that I've seen talk about on the internet was the guy who helps with the cooking.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I'm going to teach you how to make hot dogs. It's like, oh, wow.
Macaroni and cheese.
Yeah. Grilled cheese. Guacamole. It's like, okay. I mean, I guess you're trying to teach them simple things that'll actually make for themselves. But yeah. It's like, this is the height of culture here.
Yeah, you compare like Anthony in the kitchen to like Bobby, who like redoes their entire house.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, like when Bobby redid the whole fire station
finale,
and so then beautiful. Anthony's just like, here's some hot dogs.
Here's some hot dogs. We can sell these for $5 maybe.
Here's how you butterfly the hot dogs.
Yeah.
But at least he was adorable, so.
Yeah, it helps.
Yeah, so that was fun. I was sad there was only 8 episodes.
Me too, I want more.
What else have you been watching?
Well, because I was in America, my Netflix flipped over to the American Netflix. So I'm regretting that I didn't download more while I was there, but I downloaded 2 episodes of The Great British Bake Off or Baking Show, whatever it is.
I think it's Bake Off.
Okay, Bake Off.
Yeah.
So I have watched 1.5 episodes of that show, and it's nice. I don't really see the hype yet, but it seems nice.
Yeah, I watched like maybe 10 minutes of it. I don't even know how I watched it, but I was kind of like, this is a little chill, like a little uneventful.
I don't know. I think I'm watching the second season or something, because they didn't like introduce any of the hosts or anything, so I don't actually know any of their names. So yeah, but it's like, I don't know, they're all nice. Like, there's a young girl who's like 17 who's like a wizard in baking and stuff, so she's cool. I don't know. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, it's a cooking show. Like, it doesn't, I don't know. Maybe, like, where am I going wrong? What am I missing? If you're listening and you know, please tell me. Direct me to specific episodes or seasons I should be looking for, because, I don't know. Everybody seems to love it so much, and I'm like, where is the spark?
Yeah, okay, good. Because as I said, I didn't watch much, but I felt the same way. I was just like, maybe it's just because it's so different than your typical reality show.
Yeah. I mean, they did so much in one episode. They made like 4 things. So maybe it's because they're going so fast and not spending time with each individual person. Although I imagine that changes once they start eliminating people. So maybe once we get to the end of the season, it'll be a little more personal, but it kind of, I don't know, so far I'm not gelling it. I'm not giving up on it, but I'm not not gelling with it as much as I thought I would.
Well, you've only got 1/2 an episode to go.
That's so. Right. And then I need to find somewhere else to watch it.
So another thing that I have been watching is a sitcom called One Day at a Time. It's on Netflix, and it's about a woman who's separated from her husband, and she has 2 kids, so it's sort of her life as a single mom, and her her mother lives with them, and they are Cuban Americans, and it's basically just like, it's kind of like a nostalgia hit to when I used to watch, you know, like Family Matters and Full House and those kind of shows, like family sitcom, a little bit on the corny side, but with some heartwarming moments and like a studio audience, either that or a laugh track. I'm not sure which. But it's been really good so far. It's deals with a lot of issues, like the daughter is gay, and the mother immigrated from Cuba, and she has all kinds of stories about that. And the main character is a veteran. She had been in Afghanistan, and she sort of has some PTSD, and her estranged ex was also a veteran, but he decided to stay there as a private contractor, which is why they are separated. And it's really, it's nice. It's just kind of like nice, light, 30-minute episodes. And I didn't notice. I watched the whole first season, and then I was watching the credits, and it said, developed by Norman Lear. And I was like, Norman Lear, that guy must be like 100 years old by now. he made a bunch of shows in the 60s and 70s. Like, he did All in the Family and The Jeffersons and Good Times. I don't know if you know those
they
shows.
They sound familiar.
I used to watch a lot of All in the Family. But apparently there was, he also did One Day at a Time, and it was about a single mother and her, like, two kids and growing up, and it dealt with a lot of things like feminism in the 70s, because he's always been pretty progressive in his, the shows that he makes. So this is actually basically a remake of that. It's, they've just given it a different flavor. So it's, I've been really liking it. It's good. It makes me want to learn Spanish, because I watch so many shows where they kind of, I mean, they're in English, but they sort of dip into Spanish, and I was like, I want to learn.
I want to understand.
So yeah, it's been good.
Cool.
Have you been up to anything else?
Yeah, the last thing that I did was I did some competitive Overwatch stuff. I lost 5 games in a row.
Oh no.
It didn't, the interesting thing was, though, that it didn't, like, feel bad, because I went with, Zufi. We've had her on the show before, but she's one of our friends from, Twitter, and also, I think, WoW, too.
Mm-hmm.
But we ran some comp together, and we'd only planned to run, like, 2 or 3 games, and even though we lost, we were like, this is actually, I don't feel bad about losing, so
yeah, that's
we'll
good.
Just keep playing. I mean, it would have been nice to, like, win one, maybe.
Yeah.
but I don't know. They were, like, relatively short, so maybe that's why it didn't feel as bad. Yeah, that's kind of, like,
I played my comp matches on one of my accounts today before we started this. I played all of them.
How'd it go?
They went pretty good. I think I went 5-2-3, I think.
Nice.
Like, my first 5 games were really good, and then the second 5 games were not so good. But, yeah, I played a lot of Moira. At one point, I had played 4 games, and I had 100% win ratios on every character that I played. I was like, yeah, I screenshotted it, because I'm like, I'm never going to see this again. So, yeah, it went okay. I placed just in platinum, and then promptly lost.
Fell out of the games.
Yeah. So.
I'm kind of worried about this season, where I'm going to end up after losing those 5.
I don't find that they make too much of a difference how you do in the placements. Like, okay. It's just sort of you place around where you ended last season.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not too bad, I guess. I just can't lose anymore.
Yeah. what else? Okay, so I watched a couple movies. I'll just go over them real quick. I watched Devil, which is an M. Night Shyamalan. That's probably wrong.
Shyamalan?
Yeah. So it's like a contained thriller. Have you seen that one?
Mm-mm.
It's a building in, I don't know, a city, and 5 people get trapped in an elevator.
Ooh.
And one of them is apparently the devil and starts, like, killing the other ones.
Okay. Like, obviously, or, like,
well,
sneaky?
Like, the lights will go out and someone will be dead.
Oh.
So yeah, they all start turning on each other and being like, you're doing it, you're doing it. And like most of M. Night's movies, I found it very predictable. I was like, oh, that one's the devil at the beginning. And yes, that one was the devil. So it was okay. It was really short. It was like an hour and 20 minutes long. Oh. I was like, yes, more movies should be like this.
It's short, yeah.
And then I also watched one of the new Netflix movies, Ritual.
I think I've seen that pop up, but I haven't watched it myself.
It's about a group of men who go, they're like planning a vacation together, like a boys trip. And they end up going hiking in one of the Nordic countries. I'm not sure which one. They go into this forest and they find like all these weird ritualistic symbols, and they start getting terrorized by something out in the woods. And it was pretty good. It had a really cool creature design to it, to the monster. I don't know. It's been getting pretty good reviews. I thought it was just okay. But yeah, I watched that too.
Cool.
All right, so that's it for what we've been up to. We'll move on to some listener questions.
Okay, so the first one comes from P1 of the Cartridge Brothers fame. What's the best Overwatch-based podcast you either listen to or are aware of? Side note, if it's you guys, that's a totally valid answer.
Just as some extra context to this, in their last episode of CC Weekly, P1 expressed the hope that we would just turn into a weekly Overwatch League coverage podcast.
That's so funny. I mean, we probably could, but no.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I watch quite enough to talk about it that frequently. I can definitely see us doing a fairly regular-ish Overwatch episode, like maybe between stages or between seasons or something. But I'd have to say ours is the best one because I don't know of any Overwatch podcasts.
It's like I've seen a couple floating around, but I actually can't remember their names. But I don't listen to them, which is also like I can't endorse any of them. But they all have names like The Payload or something like that.
Yeah, so our friend Sabriel, who was on our first Overwatch episode, I think that was way back in episode 5 or something, she was making these YouTube videos called Pulse Bomb Ready, where she was like sort of recapping the competitive scene every week. And I don't think she's done that for a while, but I'm hoping she goes back to doing that.
Yeah, if you're looking like specifically for Overwatch League recaps, the casters from Overwatch do a weekly show on YouTube. Watch Point, that's what it's called. On the Overwatch League YouTube channel, there are weekly reviews by the casters. So you get Monty and Doa and like Mr. X. And they do like a weekly review of everything that's happened. It's long. They're usually like 45 minutes, 35 minutes, something like that. So if you have time to like sit down and watch them, they're good. Or sometimes they clip sections so you can watch sections. And sometimes their sections don't matter. Like they have like a variety show type section in some of them. So you can just skip over those if you're not into it like I am. and you're only there for like the analysis and stuff like that. They don't do a bad job, but honestly, I am sick of some of them, so I kind of skip by when some of them start talking because I'm like, please shut up. I've heard you like every day this week. I don't need more. But they do a decent job, and it's a good like review. If you missed some of the matches or stuff, they'll talk about what happened during different days, and they'll show you like the best plays and talk about like which player did really well and stuff like that. So that's a pretty good one. It's not a podcast, but you can probably put it on in the background or something if you have time.
All right. So the next question is from Sarah at Oh Sorry. What upcoming movies are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to, Infinity War and A Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah, that looks so good.
Yeah. And I also want to see Annihilation, even though I have no idea what it's about.
I really want to see Annihilation, too. It's already out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really want to see that. I really want to see it in theater.
Mm-hmm.
I like the book. I don't know how one would adapt that book, but it seems like they did a pretty good job. Also, I am sort of looking forward to Tomb Raider.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that.
I actually really liked the original Tomb Raider. I guess.
I was going to say with Laura Croft. With Laura, oh, my God.
Yeah, that one.
No, with Angelina Jolie.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was a pretty good
Me too.
Video game movie.
Yeah.
So.
She's so cool.
I hope this version of Laura gets sort of back to that point. Mm. I know they've been trying to develop her as like how she became Laura Croft, but I hope she gets back to the sort of sassy, kind of snarky person rather than the games so far, and by the looks of it, this movie as well, are all kind of serious, and I'd like for them to lighten up a little bit.
Yeah.
Are there any others that I'm looking forward to? Ocean's 8.
Oh.
Looks pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. With, like, Sandra Bullock and mm-hmm. all those people. Yeah.
I really liked Ocean's 11 when that first came out. I haven't watched any of the follow-ups.
Neither have I.
There's a bunch of them. But yeah, I'm interested in seeing a all-women crime
movie?
Caper.
Hell yeah. The next question is from Lo Guppy. And they ask, how freaking awesome was the Olympic closing ceremony? I don't know. Did you watch it at all? I don't know if you've seen
it. I didn't watch any Olympics at all.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so before I talk about the closing ceremony, I have to mention Tessa Virtue and Scott Moir.
Oh, because... and they danced. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They, so every Olympics has like a skating gala where they like, you know, they can skate to whatever they want to. And Tessa and Scott skated to Long Time Running by the Tragically Hip. And it was like, it was so beautiful. And it's like, it's so sad because they're probably retiring this year. So like,
aww.
Their like 20-year career is, you know, it's probably over. They haven't officially said, but they've like hinted at it that they're going to be retiring. So it was like that. Plus it was like such a really nice tribute. And it was just such a fitting song. And I was like, oh, my God. And I couldn't watch it until we got back from the States. Because I was trying to watch it in the States. But I couldn't get it to work.
Because
I was like, oh, you need an NBC login. And I was like, but I don't. I was like, please help me. I'm Canadian. I don't know what's happening. Oh, it was so beautiful, though. And like. I love the skating galas because they like pick whatever songs they want to and they just skate however they want to. And you can see that they like really like the routines because they're kind of a little more personal, which is really nice. So yeah, that was really, really pretty.
Yeah. When I say I didn't watch any Olympics, I did watch, like I did look up a couple of their routines.
Yeah.
And they always look so nice. They're so happy and so appreciative of each other when they're getting scored and everything. That was so nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're such a good pair. And then I watched some of the Olympic closing ceremony because I was like, I just want to see the K-pop stuff. So they had CL, who's a pretty big name in K-pop because she was part of 21, which was a really big four-girl group, and then she kind of went solo. So she sang two of her songs, and she looked so good. Had like a bunch of dancers and fireworks and stuff, so that was awesome. And then EXO came, and they sang, I think, two of their songs as well. I was surprised that they only got to sing two, considering that they were like kind of the closing act. And normally on all the other shows that they go on, they do, like, really big, like, huge performances. Although I guess because it's the Olympics, it's not really about them. But it seems kind of, like, that's it. But I mean, it was still really good. I love all of the fireworks and stuff at the end too, so it was really cool. I mean, admittedly, I didn't watch all of it, so I don't know what like the like cultural part of it looked like, but I definitely know what the K-pop part of it looked like.
The next question is from Orc Chop, and he wants to know about what we think of the latest Overwatch hero. Oh, do we think we play her? And her name is Brigitte?
Yeah.
Okay.
Brigitte, yeah.
Brigitte. She looks cool. I haven't played her because I don't play on the PTR.
Yeah.
So I won't know for sure until she releases on live, but I'm super happy that they've released another healer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any more DPS. she looks cool. She looks, I don't know if like melee healing is really gonna be my particular style.
Yeah.
But I try her out. And she also, I just looking at her like F1 screen, there's a lot of buttons.
Yeah, she's got a lot of stuff that she can do, which seems like kind of overwhelming. It's interesting because they gave her like one-star difficulty on their website.
Yeah, I saw that.
She's got a lot of buttons, and you say she's, like, you know, an easier hero to play. So maybe that's because you don't have to, like, aim to heal. But, like, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, maybe. But, I mean, it looks like her shield bash. Like, you need to, like, there's...
Like Doomfist thingy. You need to, like, hit someone.
Mm-hmm. And you need to have your shield and then press a second button at the same time. Otherwise, that button has another use.
Like, yeah.
So it doesn't seem that easy to me.
Yeah.
But, I guess I'll see when she comes out on live.
Yeah. She looks neat. I've already seen like videos of people stunning and then killing a Tracer.
Oh.
Which I'm like, oh, good. That's great. And I saw another video of, there's a streamer. His name is Emong. And he was on the PTR and he had one of his friends on to like test out some of her abilities. And he uses the rocket flail thing, like this knockback one.
Mm-hmm.
And they use that on a jumping Winston and he just gets bonk, knocked right down into the ground.
Oh.
So I was like, that seems super good and also kind of OP, but I guess you sort of have to aim it to hit them.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you can hit that on, like, the dive comps, it'll be okay. Like, a good way to stop people from getting in there. Plus, like, Jeff described her on the, what's it called? The developer update. And he was like, if you're a support and you're tired of your team leaving you out in the air to, like, to die, then this is the support for you. So I was like, oh, yes.
Yes.
She seems really cool. And it's exciting to get another woman character in the game. Like, back to back. To back? No, just back to back.
Yeah, I think they're like basically at parity now.
Yeah, pretty close. I think
men and women characters. So, yeah, I look forward to having another character to choose from. And now, as kind of bad as I feel about saying I'm happy I'm not playing Mercy anymore because I feel like they've made her not fun, which is bad.
No.
It's nice to just like jump around from healer to healer and be like, ooh, I want to play all of them.
Yeah. So. It's nice to like not feel obligated to pick her.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's definitely made the Overwatch League a lot more interesting. So I feel kind of bad because I was like, Mercy's great. But now I'm like, Mercy is great. But at the same time. The next question is also from Orkchop, and he's asking, which games do you prefer to play on PC and which games do you prefer to play on console?
Well, I like CRPGs, which are computer role-playing games, which have of late been getting ports to consoles, but I like to play those sort of like classic isometric RPGs with a mouse and keyboard. What else? I'd rather play Overwatch or anything competitive on PC just because there's more control. But generally, I would rather play games on console just because I'd rather lay in bed
or in the bed.
And play things. So anything else like platformers, shoot 'em ups, sort of like the more open world RPGs as opposed to the sort of classic style ones.
Yeah, I don't know. Most of the games that I play are on PC anyway. But I played, I used to play Tomb Raider exclusively on console.
You still need to play the new Tomb Raider.
I do. I have a copy of it, so I should make that my next project game like I did with Horizon, is just sit down and play it. Oh, well, I played Horizon on console, actually, and I liked how that felt, which I was kind of surprised by, because I really like the, like, precision that a mouse and keyboard can give me. Mm-hmm. But for games like Ori, when I played that on the PC, I started with the mouse and keyboard, and I was extremely frustrated. And I ended up switching, like, downloading a thing that would let me use my PlayStation controller instead. So I probably would have enjoyed that kind of game on a console. And now that I'm looking at the Hyperlight Drifter icon on my desktop, like, ooh, that one is going to be interesting if I don't have a controller to play it. So, like, games like that, I would prefer to play on console, but I end up, like, getting them or buying them on PC without, like, thinking about it because they're just so cheap.
Yeah.
And, like, if I signed up for, like, PlayStation Plus, then I would have cheaper games on console, but... I haven't had a PlayStation Plus membership for a while now.
Oh, and the one other thing I like to play on PC more is point-and-click adventures, which some of them have had okay ports to console, but for the most part, moving a cursor around with the D-pad or a left stick is painfully slow.
Feels bad. So,
yeah. Okay, so our last question is from the Doc Web, and it's, would either of you want to see a Mass Effect film adaptation? If so, who would be your dream director, cinematographer, cast, etc.?
Oof. That's a tough one, because I don't know if I would want that, just because of how I have it, like, in my mind. And, like, how I remember, like, playing it in my game. Like, if they made a Mass Effect universe film, then sure, but it couldn't, I don't think it could be related at all to anything in the games. Like, you could maybe have, like, a mention of Commander Shepard and a mention of the Mass Effect Andromeda protagonist writer. But, like, I just, because the games are so personalized, I really don't think that, like, a successful one that, you know, wouldn't upset, like, huge amounts of people is possible. Like, yeah,
I feel the same way. Like, I'd be fine with a something in the universe, but, like, it couldn't have Shepard at all.
Yeah.
Because just everyone has their own Shepard, and, like, if it was a dude Shepard, I'd just be mad.
Super, like, uninterested right away.
Yeah, like, I would be personally offended if it was a male Shepard. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to see that. But something in universe would be okay. Like, maybe, like, around the first contact time or something like that.
Yeah, something that's already got, like, a set storyline. Like, that none of our choices would have affected. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Would be good, yeah.
Yeah, and then in terms of people, like, directors or... I have a hard time.
I thought a little bit about this when I saw the question this afternoon. I want Christopher Nolan's version of his, like, view of Interstellar and how beautiful space was from his perspective. But I want, like, Taika Waititi like, helping to write it and, like, steer it in, like, a different, like, not as, like, super serious direction, because you know, like, there are some good, like, funny and, like, really good, like, comedic moments in Mass Effect 2. So I think that, or Mass Effect as well, not 2, like, the Mass Effect 2. So, like, I want that. But also I want, like, maybe J.J. Abrams to, like, slide in there and help out, too, because I really like the Star Trek movies. And then I'm realizing as I say that, like, that's no women directors, and I think that a woman director would be really good at the helm of this, too, so.
Yeah, I was having a hard time thinking of any particular people I'd want involved in it. I was, when I thought of sort of, like, space movies, I thought of The Fifth Element, and the cinematographer of that is Thierry Arbogast, which I never would have known had I not just looked it up. But something like that, something where, you know, it's still kind of fun looking, like not too serious. Yeah, I don't know about a director, though.
Yeah.
And I don't really have any actor preferences either, since I would want all the characters to be new. So, but yeah, I think it would be cool to have a Mass Effect movie, just not from the games.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have to be. Yeah. I don't think there's any way that they could do it successfully, which is kind of sad, but.
Yeah. It would just, too many people have their own versions of it. So.
Yeah.
All right. So that is all of our questions for this episode. Riley, you want to let people know where they can find you?
Yeah. Before I do that, I want to also mention that our friends over at Cowboy and Cricket, the candle company, well, not company, but candle business, it's run by Zufi and Turbles, whose real names are Alina and Meredith. And they make these candles that are based on, like, all sorts of geeky things. They sent me a Tracer candle to review and asked me to, like, do a little write-up about how it smells and about the characters, so you can go to their website, Cowboy and Cricket, and check that out, and also buy their candles because they smell really good and they're not made from, like, bad chemicals or anything. They're all, like, hand-poured of, like, soy and natural smells, which is really nice. And yeah, so I just wanted to say that before before we close out the show, because they've been good friends of mine for a while. And then, yeah, for contacting me or finding me, I'm on Twitter at Kaleri with an underscore. It's K-A-L-E-R-I with an underscore.
All right, and you can find me on Twitter at Josyla underscore, or on YouTube, where my channel is Cannot Be Tamed. And you're listening to us already, so this might or might not be interesting, but you can now find us on Spotify.
Yay!
If you have any feedback or questions for us, you can reach out at MediaMavensCast@gmail.com or contact us on Twitter at _MediaMavens. We're always looking for questions and things for upcoming shows. There's also a forum for discussion of any of our episodes at cartridgeclub.org. And if you like the show, please leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. I don't think Spotify has reviews. I don't know. There, if possible. But thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Oh.
Yeah, it's going. It's going. That's why I wasn't responding.
That's why you weren't talking.
Stuff. Yeah, okay. Sorry.
I was like, wow, you're not interested in this.
No, I am. For the record, it sounds like a cool show. Just this stupid whatever they're doing up there. Frig. I'm not gonna make it through. 1 second, I need to read this again.
Yeah, no worries.